Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. ish. Welcome to Community Focus. As you, our regular watchers and viewers and listeners know, this program is hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself. Gregory T. has been missing for a few weeks, and I can say this part because he said it on Facebook himself. He had some problems with his vocal cords, had a paralyzed vocal cord, still struggling with that. Had a surgery today. And so for those of you all like me who miss Brother Gregory T and wish him well, we're sending out our thoughts and our prayers to him and saying, Brother Gregory T, get well. We need you back here in the studio, brother. This is Friday the 30th, the last Friday in May. It's been an interesting month. Like, I guess they all are, aren't they? Let's go to our weather for the weekend. End of coming week. Today, 50% chance of rain, low 47, high of 66, and we may have already hit that 66 and we're sliding our way back down. Tomorrow, sunny, high 62, low 46, sunny on Sunday as well, low 44, high of 63. Monday, that sun will still be out, low of 50, high of 72, and again, it just keeps getting better on Tuesday. Low of 61, high of 78. And Wednesday, 70% chance of rain, low 59, high 70. And Thursday, still a 40% chance of rain, low 54, high of 73. So enjoy this beautiful sunny weekend. You still may need a jacket early in the day and late in the evening. Before we begin with our guests, I usually do my top five news stories. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm burned out. I'm burned out on Washington, Supreme Court, tariffs, immigration. I'm just burned out. And it's dominated the news cycle. So instead of my top five news stories, I'm just going to say five things to throw yourself into if you are tired of the news. Number one, this is graduation season. High school, kindergarten, college, graduate school. Get out and enjoy some graduations. It's also prom season. So take some pictures, get out, have some fun, enjoy those proms. With graduation, for seniors also comes open house. Enjoy those picnics, open houses, get-togethers. Give good gifts to the graduates. The end of the spring sports season, which means we have track and field finals. We have baseball finals and the other spring sports. And then my fifth and final thing to do and think about other than news this week, we've got parties in the park starting this week. We got the farmer's market open. We got sunny weather. We got parks, walking trails, bicycle lanes. Get off your phone, get off your tablet, get off your notebook, get out there and enjoy some life. So those are my top five non-news things. Don't forget kids' free trip to Africa. And tomorrow at the Fronthal, there is a housing workshop. It's free. So you can still have time to get there. Again, this is Community Focus. Our program is sponsored by Bishop Custom and Entertainment. So go see the Bishop for your custom auto needs. Our guest today, some of you may know, if you've, especially if you've been around the Muskegon Community College family, will you join me in welcoming to the program the Assistant Dean for Workforce and Talent Development, Dr. Stephanie Briggs.
Hi, hello.
Hello, Dr. Briggs. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. So again, this broadcast is on our Facebook page on WUVS, the Community Focus page, and on radio, not just in Muskegon. So for folks that may not know you, tell folks a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background.
Yeah, So Muskegon native, born and raised here, moved away for about 8 years and came back just really trying to plant my feet back in Muskegon and bring some of the wealth that I learned from being away and bringing it back here on the educational sector. So I started my positions here at Muskegon Community College. I was the director of admissions for about 7 years, excuse me. And in that role, I really just helped students understand the importance of education and families as well. Community college, I think, has a bad stigma in some people's eyes. It's looked at as like a lesser than option for college for some people. But I don't think they really understand the magnitude of what community college can do and how it can really save thousands of dollars, right? But then also give you this really foundational education that you can then take with you to go somewhere else. And so that was really what I wanted to get the message out to families around our area. And I did that for a lot of years. And then a couple years ago, I took over the role as the Associate Dean of Workforce and Talent Development. And so a lot of people hear that title and say, I have no clue what
That was
that
my next question.
is. So that title is basically when you think of workforce development, it is helping our companies. I do strictly like manufacturing companies. That's the bulk of my work. So helping manufacturing companies upskill their employees. So you can imagine like a Howmet, for example, calling and saying, Stephanie, I need 15 of my employees to get upskilled in welding, for example. And so then I would connect a trainer with their HR rep or their liaison, whoever is at Howmet, and we would get that training solidified so that then their employees can get the training that they need to be able to do the job that they need to do. And so that's kind of what my role is, to be able to service our manufacturing companies. And so within that, I get to go and tour all of the companies that are in this area and surrounding areas and really get to learn about what manufacturing is in Muskegon County and the surrounding areas. And then we get to partner with those companies to upskill, whether it's a credit-based or non-credit-based in terms of education. So it's a win-win on our team, but it's just being that partner that we can to be able to help bring training to companies.
So from that experience, I'm sure you have a good handle on when students come, what kind of skills they need to build to be successful in the companies in town.
And I think kind of all around I've been in education about 17 years now. That's crazy to even think that it's been that long. But so just tools in general to be a good student, right? To be prepared for college. I'm also an adjunct instructor too. So I teach our freshman seminar, which is college success seminar at the college too. So just fine-tuning those skills. But then also when you come into a company, what are some of those soft skills that companies are looking for, right? You need to be able to do the manual labor, right? Or be able to like work in the factory or the manufacturing shop. But then also you need to have the customer service skills. You need to be able to have some of those soft skills, be able to know how to say hello to people and greet people and be friendly to people, right? So we touch base on all of those things so that when our students go work for those companies, that they're well-rounded, and that they're ready to be a full functioning employee at those different organizations.
I had last week I had the owner of a temp service on, and some things you say, you think, well, you can't say that enough, make eye contact, shake hands, introduce yourself. I asked him, like, what's the number one thing? And he said, show up for work. Show up at this
On
place.
time.
You can't say the basic things enough, because we've been in the careers a while, so we're like, oh yeah, show up for work. That's not a but we can't say those basic things enough. Learn how to read, learn how to write, do some math, introduce yourself, shake hands, get along with coworkers, but
Absolutely.
we can't say them enough.
Absolutely. Those soft skills matter, and we're learning as we continue. I'm hearing from our manufacturing companies too that those soft skills are becoming just as important as those other skills as well too, because you can be a great worker, you can be a very hard worker, but if you lack those soft skills, then now there's a huge discrepancy, and so we have to figure out how to find that middle ground. And so we're learning that, and so we're trying to navigate from both ends of the spectrum.
I hate that term soft skills. Like I said, they're just as important,
They are. They are.
Any particular, again, we kind of touched on it, but any, when you actually go around Muskegon, Are there any challenges unique to employers in Muskegon, you think, than anywhere else?
I don't know if there's anything unique, right? I think Muskegon is unique in a way that we manufacture a lot of different things, from car parts to airplane parts to food. I mean, there's a lot of different manufacturing companies that are right here. And even myself growing up in Muskegon, I knew probably half of the things that happen in Muskegon, right? I think you know, like, oh, ADAC is here, SHAPE is here.
Yes,
you don't really understand the magnitude of what people do. Like I mentioned Howmet, for example, like they're an aerospace company for parts all around the world, right? Airplane parts all around the world. Like the spring and stamping companies that are around, they send springs all around the world. It's not just right here in Muskegon. So I think we're unique in that way, that this town is smaller compared to some towns, but we do big work, and we're doing that for places way outside of just Muskegon or even Michigan as a whole.
Okay. So we may have some employers listening. Is there any specific size and range companies that you'll work with?
Any size companies. We have the small companies that have, you know, few as 5 to 10 employees that are looking for upskills. And we have the larger companies that have hundreds of employees that are needing assistance with something. So it doesn't matter. As long as you reach out or we reach out to you and you need some assistance, we'll be able to make that work. There is funding options available that we house underneath the Workforce Development Department right now with the state that we can actually help pay for different training. The state has a Going Pro program right now that companies can come in and they can apply for training grants and training funds to be able to pay for training for their employees. So there's a lot of ways that we help to be able to navigate that space. If you need training for your employees, we will try to figure out a way to get it done and to figure out a way to pay for it. And if we can't pay for it, you know, we still can make it happen. We just need to figure out a way to pay for it. But companies, they want to invest in their people too. So,
when you talk about these trainings, will they all take place at the MCC campus, or do you do any of this training on site?
So both. So I actually work, and if you're familiar with Muskegon Community College, we have a few different locations around Muskegon and kind of surrounding areas. So I am actually down at our Sturrs Technology Center, which is right downtown. So shout out to the Sturrs Technology Center. If you have not been there before and you are a student or a person or a parent or a grandparent or anybody who is like, man, I want to check that out, let us know, because we would love to tour you around so you can see what we have in that facility, from welding to foundry to CAD engineering. I mean, we machining. Everything that you can think of that is technical, we have in that space. And so training can be housed here or there at the Sturrs Technology Center, or we can do it on site. It just depends on what works best for the company. You know, a lot of times they run different shifts, so doing it on site is better for them, because then they don't have to, you know, have people going from one place to another. But it just depends on what works best for them. Yeah. But we're flexible.
Yeah, and that was my era for old timers like me. When I say MCC, my mind goes to Marquette. We probably don't talk about the Sturrs Center enough. Yeah. We talk about the educational experience that are offered by MCC. For old timers and who may be listening or come in town, you ought to learn more about the Sturrs Center and what's going on there. It's an amazing facility.
Yeah, I would love to tour you around. So it's a team. We're a small team down there, but we would love to tour you around. Jared Olson, Nia Misko, myself, and Dan Ritsa-Masivinga. We are the core folks down there at that area. Vicky Cross is down there as well, too. So we would love to show you that space. And then we also have the Fab Lab, and we have the STEM Lab down there with Gabe Guerrero and Jessica Cisco. And so together we make the team of the Sturrs Technology Center. But if you wanted to come down and just take a look and just see what we have to offer, I think you'll be amazed if you've never been in that building. And if for those of you that may be familiar with downtown, it was the old Chronicle building that we revamped. So
I was going to say the address, but for old timers, against the old Chronicle building, what's the address there?
388 West Clay, right across from Hackley Park. If you're standing in Hackley Park and you look across the street, you'll see the big MCC sign. You cannot miss it.
Awesome. So does your work, as you work with the companies, do you kind of stand in that bridge between high schools, ACE Prepare students, and companies wanting to upgrade skills? Are you involved in that area as well?
So kind of dual enrollment, I think, is what you're thinking
Well,
about.
I
And
was thinking of
so
dual enrollment or even just the preparation of students that may enter the workforce after college, but may not quite be, but still may need to upgrade their skills as they're
yes.
working.
Yep. So I'll say yes and no. So yes to the fact of if students are like, yes, I'm hands-on, I'm very technical, I want to do something with my hands, but I don't know what that is. I may not be ready for a 4-year degree or even a 2-year degree, but I want to do something to, come in and make some money. Then yes, we definitely can introduce them to what the trades are, right? And I say trades in like an air quote because I'm talking about manufacturing. And a trade, when we think about that, it's something that's less than a 2-year degree. So we have like 1-year certifications, for example, or we even have less than that. Sometimes welding students can get done 6 months to 9 months, depending on how advantageous they are to get that done. So yes, we do help with that if that's something that they're interested in. And then we also have a grant right now for those students who like maybe I'm interested in it, but maybe not, where we can pay for their first class through the grant that we have right now as well, just to get their feet wet to see if that's something that they like. Now, also with dual enrollment, schools do pay for dual enrollment. I'm sure that you're familiar with the Career Tech Center. They have a lot of the programs that we offer for the high school level at the Career Tech Center. But the Career Tech Center seats are limited as well too. So some of those dual enroll students can come to MCC to take some of those classes as well too at the Sturgis Technology Center. And we do get some of that as well too. And just helping them prepare because maybe they didn't get a seat at the CTC, but they can definitely still take that welding 101. For example, or that machining 101 at the Sturgis Technology Center.
We talked a little bit before you came on. Any other things going on in your area in the programs that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, one thing that another hat that I wear in workforce development with Jessica Cisco is the STEM Lab. And so we have our second annual STEM camp that is coming up. And so that is for kids that are interested in STEM and they are going into the first through the eighth grade this coming fall. And so if they are interested in STEM, they are looking for a summer camp that is going to be the first 2 full weeks in July. So the 7th through the 10th and the 14th through the 17th, Monday through Thursday. And you could do one or two classes, AM or PM, or you can do both. And it's all things STEM. So we have some robotics, we have like art of basketball, we have some different things that will be able to students can get their hands wet and hands-on activities, I like to call them. And it's all things STEM. You learn how to make slime, you learn how to do some different activities, and they're all throughout the Sturgis Technology Center and the STEM Lab. We had a huge, huge, huge turnout last year, and so we are excited about this year. Howmet is a sponsor this year, so we have scholarships available. So the classes are $85 per session, so per week. So if you do both sessions, it's $85 per each session. But we do have scholarship dollars for that, and that is while it lasts. So if you're interested in that, if you go on MCC's website and you search STEM Camp, that'll pop up. Or you can reach out to myself or Jessica Cisco and we can send you that information as well too. But it is a really good camp and they get to spend 2 weeks with us learning about STEM.
I don't know if you know this person or they're just really enjoying the information you're sharing. Kylie Jackson says, "Let's go, Dr. Briggs."
Kylie. How are you? Yes. Thanks, Kylie.
Dr. Briggs, let me kind of change tones here a little bit. Our program, we try to educate and inform the community, but we also have the privilege of also speaking to young people in our community that listen to this program or watch it on Facebook. And so we like to take advantage of that to talk about things like education and careers, and sometimes just give people to give their story and basic information or share their story that it might inspire somebody. Can you share a little bit about your educational journey and how you ended up in the working in the field of education?
I sure can, because I was never supposed to be here. This was not the journey that I was supposed to have. So I went to Grand Valley straight out of high school, and being from Muskegon, I saw a lot of like people getting in trouble, right, that were around my age. And so at that point in high school, I was like, I want to go into criminal justice and I want to be a juvenile probation officer. I want to be able to help, right? I want to help get people on the right track. That was my game plan.
Okay.
So I majored in criminal justice. I did an internship in juvenile justice with the Ottawa County Court. Did all of that, graduated from high school. The state of Michigan went on a hiring freeze. And so now I'm like, now what? Now what do I do? And so I moved. I moved to Arizona. And I remember driving down the street and I saw a sign that the University of Phoenix was hiring. And, you know, I knew of the University of Phoenix just from hearing like radio and seeing it on TV, right? But sure. I'm like, I just need a job. Like, I need a job. I just graduated graduated college. I need a job. And so I applied, and that was my intro to education.
Okay.
And that was a for-profit. So that's a whole different that's a whole different game, but that's where I got my feet wet with education. And then I moved around a little bit. I lived in Virginia for some years. I lived in North Carolina for a little bit. And throughout that, I worked for private institutions. I worked for Regent University, which is it's a religious private college. And then I worked for Troy University. So I made my way around and did kind of all sectors of education. And I realized, and I also worked with military education as well too, with veterans and using their benefits to pay for college. And so I learned that I can help people. Like, I can tell people about education, right? And I was a first generation college student myself. And so a lot of college I had to figure out on my own, because my parents are fantastic, but they never went to college. They had no idea how any of it worked. And so I had to figure it out. And so I was like, I can share my experience with people so that they don't have to figure it out. I can be a resource. And so that was what I did. That was my foundation. And that what drove me to really stay in education. And I've been there ever since. Okay. And so when I came back to Muskegon, my passion for education really grew, because not only is this something that I enjoy, but now I'm at my hometown. Now I know the parents of the kids that I'm talking to. Now I can tell them, we can relate on a lot of things because we're from the same place, because we see the same things. Like, you should be able to look at me and say, well, Stephanie did it, so I know that I can do it, because we're from the same area. And so I really took that to heart, and I went above and beyond to have those conversations, to make those connections, to be able to really instill in students that they can do it, no matter what your situation and circumstances is. Like, education is something that nobody can ever take from you. You get it, it's yours, and you can use it however you see fit. And so that's kind of how I got here. And then a couple years ago, I decided I wanted to increase my knowledge in education. And so I went and got my doctorate in educational leadership from FAERS. And with that, my passion became, now I've done the student side and I'm still passionate about that, but now I want to increase my leadership skills, because eventually one day I want to be a president of a college. I want to be in upper leadership of a college, and I want to be able to run that successfully, because for me, it's important for students of color to be able to have the same level of access, to be able to know that they can do it, to know how to be successful at doing it, and to be able to have a support system from the people that are running their institutions to know that they can rely on them and depend on them to be able to do that. And so that's why I got that. So now I'm here, right, with my doctorate degree, and still doing that kind of work and encouraging people every day that education is important. And it may not all look the same. We may not all take the same route. Like, I went with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I'm sitting here with a doctorate in education. So it may not look the same, but you find what you're passionate about. You see what you can be happy with every day, and you follow that. And that is something that will be able to take you onward and upward and be able to be happy every day.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
That's my story.
Let me ask you, what do you enjoy most? What gets you up in the morning knowing those you're in a dragon? What do you enjoy most about the work you do now?
I think what gets me up today with the work that I do now is being able to understand that I can have an impact with adult students now, that while my impact is a little different because I'm not helping those, you know, more traditional students, but now my impact is companies can call me and say, Stephanie, I need this, and I can be that resource to help them get whatever they need. And so now I'm broadening my horizon, when it, so to speak, when it comes to impact with helping those people. So it may not be the onesie twosies, but now I'm helping whole organizations and whole departments be able to upskill. And so I think that's what keeps me going. My team is amazing at the college that I work with. We work well together. They keep me going as well. They trust me, and I trust them. So we have a great working environment. And so they keep me going as well. We all encourage each other.
Awesome. Time goes by really fast. Tell folks again about the STEM camp.
Yep. STEM camp, first 2 weeks in July, July 7th through 10th and July 14th through 17th. You can do 1 week. You can do both weeks. It's AM and PM sessions. You get to pick. Lunch is provided for those students that need it, $85 per session. Scholarships are available. HowMet is the sponsor for it. The website I'll give really quick, but you can go on MCC's website and you can just search STEM Camp. But the shortened version is tinyurl.com/MCC STEM Camp 2025. Awesome. So tinyurl.com/MCC STEM Camp 2025. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm sure everybody knows who I am. So just reach out to me, let me know, and I can help you get that information. And we would love to see your kids first through eighth grade this summer. And registrations are filling up quickly. So if you're interested, sign your babies up sooner rather than later.
All right. Dr. Briggs, it's nice to meet you. It's good to have you on the show. I'll extend an invitation to you to come back anytime if you would like to.
Thank you, Melvin. I appreciate you all for thinking of me. And hopefully somebody gained something today from our conversation. So I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm sure they did. People, folks, that's Dr. Stephanie Briggs at Muskegon Community College. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll have our next guest today. Good afternoon and welcome back to Community Focus. I'm excited to welcome back to the program a guest we had a few months ago, Ms. Yes. Tara Carson, head of the HBCU Club of Muskegon.
Yes, correct. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's good to have you back. I think the first time you're on, you were a little nervous.
Yes.
And then you know, just get a word in edgewise. I'm just kidding. No, you were an outstanding guest and we're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
For folks that don't know, tell a little about yourself, then tell us about the HBCU Club of Muskegon.
All right. Good afternoon, West Michigan. I am Tara Carson. I am born here, right here in Muskegon, home of the Big Reds, alumni from Muskegon High School, class of 1995. Muskegon is my home. Always will be my home. A little bit about me. I am the president and founder of the HBCU Club of Muskegon. But my full-time job, I am a professor and assistant director at Grand Valley State University Laker Educational Opportunity Center, where we service residents in Muskegon and King County for educational outreach services.
Okay. So tell me, and I don't know if I even asked this last time, why start the HBCU Club?
Well, the reason why I start the HBCU Club, because I am a second generation HBCU alum. My mother graduated from Alcorn State University.
Go Braves.
Yes, go Braves. A part of the SWAC. And it was instilled in our family about going to HBCUs. Okay. We have a lot of family members that graduated from an HBCU. And we have some family members currently teach at an HBCU. So just the rich history about historically Black colleges and universities is very important to me. So now my daughter, Taylor, she is a senior at Jackson State University. She's
I don't consider her a traitor.
No, not a traitor. I kind of wish she would have went to Grambling with me, but you know, she's still part of the SWAC family. She's getting her bachelor's in social work. So I'm super excited for her entering into her senior year, and just, you know, hopefully the rest of my children will follow that footpath going to HBCUs.
So you're second generation HBCU here in Muskegon. When you were growing up, were you aware of other people in Muskegon who went to HBCUs?
Yes. I know so many people that went to HBCU. You got Terry Cooper, you got Mr. Nash, Mr. Causey, Mrs. Nichols, who else? Mr. Wright. So like a lot of people that are seasoned members of the community, they all went to HBCUs and then they came up north to Michigan to try to instill that into students here in the Muskegon area. And just to hear their history when they went to college, like in the 60s and in the 70s and the late 50s, and just to hear about their stories, their pathways, they went through the civil rights movement, they went through protest movement, and they, some of them got to hear Dr. Martin Luther King, some of them got to hear Mega Evans. So just to hear about that rich history and culture, that's another segue of HBCU. But who really just nailed it down to the cross, we always call her Mama G, but the late Miss Gloria White Gardner. So if it wasn't for her, Darlene Townsend, Mary Mack, Ricky Jackson, David Newsom. I'm trying to see who else used to work with us. It's like two more other people. All those folks used to work with us when used to be the Urban League here. And they instill in us the culture about the Urban League, but also they talk about historically Black colleges and universities. Oh, yes, Mrs. Lee, Mrs. Lee. They was like our mentors, our coaches, anything you can think of. We respected them. Until this day, I respect all of them in the community. Anytime I see them, we can laugh and joke about it now because now I'm doing. And they used to say, yeah, remember you, how you used to act on the college tour and yeah. I said, yeah, now I see why the kids do what they do. So with that being said, if you are listening on today, those individuals' name, rest in peace, Mrs. Lee, rest in peace, Mama G. But for everyone else, we thank you. There are so many urban New Lighters who came out of Muskegon and Muskegon Heights that are successful, that are doing well in their careers. It's so many, you can just name them. Like right here locally, you got myself, you got Keith Guy that was part of the Urban League, Katria Burt Walker was part of the Urban League, Stephanie Payne. Who else? We call him Sadat, but Dr. Kareem Watson, Kevin Tatum, Aubrey Coleman, and the list just keep going on and on and on. And we are all successful Black professionals that are working in various careers throughout the nation. So if it wasn't for those people who I just mentioned, we wouldn't know where we would be at right now.
So what's going on with the HBCU Club these days?
Yes. I'm super excited. We just wrapped up our fifth year, everybody. Fifth year serving students in the West Michigan area. We just had our preview day award ceremony about a couple weeks ago. Well, we had about 10 high school students that graduated. We had two students who received their bachelor's degree, and we had one student who received their master's degree from our program. And we are just super excited for these students who are getting ready to transition not only to college, but the ones who graduated from college, they getting ready to go into their careers or maybe going back to school to get their master's. Hopefully Marquise will be going back to get his doctorate soon. So we are super proud of our students and even all our college club members who are home for the summer. All of them made the dean's list and made the honor roll. They are doing well. Two of my girls, they pledge this semester, Sigma Gamma Rho. Go Paige, go Zai. a lot of students just very active on campus. And that's one of the things that you will learn going to college, getting involved, participating in activities, just open up yourself for opportunity. Yes. Doing that bridge gap, that segue to the next level of their career. So mm-hmm. we are super proud of them and we are super excited. But on the flip side of it, we are getting ready to start year six on June the 1st. Year six, everybody. Okay. It's just been a joy just working with the youth in our community, not only in Muskegon. Now we are getting a lot of youth out of Grand Rapids, out of Kalamazoo now. Okay. And the word is now getting out into the community of what we are doing, how we are doing, why we are doing, but most of all, educating our students, getting them prepared for once they graduate from high school, you have options. You have options to start off at a local community college because now you can go to a community college for free.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they had that when I was going to school 30 years ago. You know, or if you want to do a trade, we setting them up in trade programs or certification programs. If you would like to go to college, either if you want to go in state or out of state.
So let's make sure people understand. When you say the HBCU club, it's not just so kids can take a trip to visit HBCUs.
Correct.
Let's talk about some other things that your club actually does.
Yeah. So our club, we focus on scholarships. We focus on resume writing. We have financial literacy classes. We focus on mental health first aid classes. We talk about the social and grief life on campus. We have speakers to come in each month to talk with the students. We do career assessments so the kids can really identify who they are and where do they see themselves going, what career path. Mm-hmm. We have students to research the school that they want to go to based on what field they want to get into. Mm-hmm. I always tell students, wherever your passion is and wherever your heart desire, you go for it. Mm-hmm. Like me, I started off as an accounting major because I thought I'm good with numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. But, you know, things change and I changed my field. Mm-hmm. And like now what I'm doing is community outreach, community advocacy. Mm-hmm. But most of all, I'm doing something that I'm very passionate about. So if you are listening on today, students, parents, just encourage your child to reach for their goals. Find what their heart is desired to be in. So once they do make that decision, you will be a part of their village. You will make sure you are rooting for them every step of the way. And if they need help, there are so many resources out in the community that are available for them for support.
Yeah, that's good. So now we do talk about the trips. Your club is not overflowing with money, so you do have support.
Yes.
So tell folks how they can support your club.
Yes. So if you would like to support our club, you are more welcome to reach out to us on Facebook under the HBCU Club of Muskegon. We will give you our business address and send you the information. But you can go to any Chase Bank in the United States of America or across the nation and make a contribution under the HBCU Club. Once you make that donation, just send us an email at hbcuclubofmuskegon@gmail.com. We can get you a letter for tax purposes. But most of all, we definitely need your support with the lens of funding for this year. It will be totally different from previous years. Okay. Prior to us going on our 2025 college tour, we lost two major sponsors. Mm-hmm. And with those two major sponsors, we had to try to figure out a way to supplement that amount. Mm-hmm. So within 8 days, our organization was able to raise $10,000 through the help of community leaders, businesses, organizations, patrons, family members. And I just want to say to each and everyone, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the HBCU Club of Muskegon. We appreciate it from the bottom of our heart.
Way to go, Muskegon. Way to step up. And so let me ask you this. We, we're in different times in leadership in our country.
Yes.
And HBCU is a product, you know, we're probably next on the hit list.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Explain it to people. I want to ask you this question first. Mm-hmm. Do you still find, whether it's through taking the students there, maybe parents you interact with, that people still have those misperceptions about what HBCUs are?
Yes, because one, it's a lot of rich history regarding historically Black colleges and university. The reason why HBCUs were created because our forefathers wasn't able to go to a PWI. PWI stands for predominantly white institutions. So when Carter G. Woodson, Charles Adams, and the list goes on and on and on, start creating HBCUs, that's when our race began to go to school and further their education. And so we strongly encourage our students to attend a historically Black college and university. But at the end of the day, whatever institution that you do decide to go to, you make sure that you are grounded, make sure you are focused, make sure you are studying, make sure you are getting the best quality education because you are paying to go to college.
Yeah. You know, you think about your University of Alabama's, your Ole Miss's, all of those folks in Roy's, that's in our lifetime where Black students started going those places. Didn't and for educated Black people, that's not where our history goes back to. And some, I guess I can remember my lifetime watching sports. You know, I remember Alabama's first Black players. And, I saw an article not too long ago, and I forget the percentage. I apologize for that. But what I remember was the overwhelming number of Black female veterinarians went to HBCUs.
Yes.
I remember the person I was talking to, I said, well, think about it. There aren't that many veterinary schools in the country. Mm-hmm. If you think about HBCUs in the South, it makes sense. I remember years back when I was in school, this is in the 80s, half of all Black doctors had either been to Howard or Meharry.
Yes,
correct. And those numbers may not have changed a whole lot, but that tells you, when you think where are people, Black people being educated.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, just to piggy off that, your lawyers, your some of the judges, engineers, teachers, they all come from an HBCU, graduated from an HBCU.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about those misperceptions. Mm-hmm. And again, we grew up in a different world and Spike Lee's, whatever that movie was called, College Days.
Yes.
And so I hate to say it the way, but some people have this idea that, they're down there shucking and jiving at all of the HBCUs. And so what are some of the things that you have to open students and parents' eyes to as you talk about HBCUs and taking a trip to see these universities?
One of the things I explain to the students prior to going on our college tour, I tell them, notice the Southern hospitality. Mm. Notice how professors will call you by your first name, not by your last four digits of your social security number or your student ID. Notice how staff and faculty will talk to you around campus. Notice where the president of some institution will be eating with students during lunchtime. Notice the different activities that is taking place on campus. So a prime example, one of our days we went to North Carolina A&T, and we went on that Wednesday for that tour, but we went back on that Thursday because they have Wellness Thursdays once a month where nobody is working, nobody's not in class. They have all types of wellness activities in their courtyard area where students can participate in. It's just like a free, relaxing day. So the students got a chance to see the college kids doing yoga. They saw the pep band. They had vendors out there, food trucks out there. So the kids had an opportunity to see, oh, this is laid back. This is something different.
Yeah.
And one of the things that one of the kids who was on the tour said, is all HBCUs like this? I said, for the most part, yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you this. Now, white students at a HBCU don't legitimize it, but the numbers are growing.
Yes.
White students going to HBCUs. Why is that?
Because they are getting the same opportunities just like any minority student go to PWI. Mm-hmm. A lot of the white students that attends the HBCU, they are in different types of sports, such as soccer, mm-hmm. tennis, bowling. You might have some during cross country. We do have some institution has lacrosse. Some institution has swimming. So it all depends what institution students are interested in and what sports is available at that particular institution. And then also, I know when I was in college back in the 90s at Grambling, majority of our Caucasian students or classmates, they was a part of our nursing program mm-hmm. because Grambling nursing program was number one in the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And each year, all of their students will pass their nursing mm-hmm. state license, mm-hmm. all of them. Wow. So that, you know, a lot of times people look at the choices of where they want to go to further mm-hmm. their education.
Okay. You're a member of a sorority.
Yes.
You can give them a shout out.
Yes. I want to give a lovely shout out to the ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, especially my chapter, Theta Chi Omega in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
All right. Yes. So let's talk about the relationship of fraternities and sororities and that HBCU tradition.
One thing about the D9, all D9 organizations, we focus on one thing, and that's service. And our service is giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. Each organization, regardless if you are a part of a sorority or a fraternity, we focus on service. We focus on making a difference in our community, showing the community that we are a unit as one. A lot of times each sorority and fraternity have program initiatives mm-hmm. that we have to follow by. And just to let the community know, just because we wear certain colors and certain letters that, or you paid a lot of money to be a part of this. No, you asked. Yes, a lot of money. Well, it wasn't a lot of money for me in the day, but I know now it's a lot of money for them.
Yes.
But when I pledged, long time ago, mm-hmm. it wasn't that much. Yeah. But the focus is service. And that's one of the things that I model to my student. Anytime I wear my sorority shirt mm-hmm. or have on my colors, they know that I'm doing some type of service in our community. Regardless if it's small or big, I'm doing some type of service, because at the end of the day, the letters that make me, I make the letters.
Yes.
And I want to make a difference by representing Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. I recently saw an article and Deion Sanders was saying, he's talking about his kids, his two sons. And he said, one, I think he took classes at Jackson State, but the other, he says, I don't think he ever took an in-person class. They're all online. And I was telling my wife, I said, you know, that's really kind of sad. I understand they're big and well-known on campus, but to go to school 4 or 5 years and miss out on hanging out with other students, going to classrooms and, you know, sitting in dorm rooms. I know people, they have nice apartments now, but walking past, you know, the quad or whatever on campus and seeing all the activity. It's like, I get it, but man, they and he said this, he said, I think they missed out on something. And I kind of agree with him. It's like the experience, and now people change majors and college not for everybody, but the experience of going to college and just experiencing that life, you don't do it forever.
Right.
But to do that in your youth, it still makes an impression on you for the rest of your life. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I can say when I was in college, there wasn't no such thing as online classes. Yeah, there, right. Everything was in person.
Hey, I'm sick. Can you bring me the homework?
Yeah. Yes. Or if you know you go miss class, you call one of your classmates. Okay, I need you to get the work for today and take notes so you can share it with me. I think the way the climate of society and everything is shifting to online, especially, you know, during the pandemic, everything is online. Zoom meeting online, this meeting online, that meeting online, classes online. They missing out on the socialization piece of it, as far as who you are, like what your character skills are. So if you are in a room all day and majority of your classes are online, you really not gonna come out your room unless you going to the calf, you know, to get you something to eat and or going right back to your dorm. But hopefully they will start changing that and seeing that students need that socialization piece.
In earlier this year, one day I was at a funeral of one of my sons from college, and then the next day we're at a service for the other one's wife. And I tell people, you know, 40 years ago it was parties and step shows, but there's now mature men in their 60s. This is what it means to be a fraternity, when everybody shows up and supports you. And I said, that's what we joined up for lifetime. And it changes as you change in life. And it's the same with people you go to college with. There's people go to school with, you know, thank God we got Facebook and all to find out where people are now.
Right.
But I just think missing those experiences, I hate that the younger generation is maybe missing some of those experiences.
Yes, they are absolutely missing. Like I tell students, K through 12, you know, you might have one or two friends. But when you go to college, and especially in your major, you become really close-knit to those individuals because you end up taking the same classes together for 4 or 5 years. It all depends on your major. But once you go to college and you create a circle, a network, those college friends are really your lifetime friends. And I'm so grateful of all my college friends that I'm in contact with. We may not talk every day. We might say hi to each other on Facebook. But when homecoming comes, it's like a big old black family reunion. And we get out our phone. Here go our kids. Here go some of them got grandkids now. And just showing pictures and just catching up, like what you been up to, and seem like you never left from when the last time you talked to that person. So like for me, one of my sons, she lives in Illinois. I haven't seen her in about 2.5 years. But when we do talk to each other, we talk for like 2 or 3 hours on the phone, just catching up because we both have families and we work and we doing sorority business and we both active in our sorority chapters. But just to hear the voice and you can feel the sense of I miss you, you know, type of thing. So like, cherish your college friends. Your college friends are the ones go be with you through thick and thin, through good days, through bad days. They go be your ride or dies at the end of the day.
Time to get away from us here. Thank you so much for coming back. Keep us updated on things going on with the, HBCU Club of is it of Muskegon?
Right? Yes, of Muskegon.
Okay. It's Tara Carson, president and founder. If folks want to reach you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at area code 231-736-2037. Registration for the 25-26 HBCU application goes out June the 1st.
All right, folks, this is Friday the 30th. Brother Gregory T., I need you to get better, brother. To Lady J., Meehan, everybody here at WVS, thank you. Thank you for making me look good and sound good. Folks, go out and have a wonderful weekend. Be a blessing to somebody.